Hello, everyone, and welcome back to GLC for another great and exciting episode of The Light of the Southwest. I'm your host, Eric Espatia, and
I'm Holly Espatia. Shalom and welcome.
Yeah, everybody, we just wanted to we have a very special guest who has a very special message. Mm-hmm. And in the midst of all the confusion that's going on with the disinformation in today's world, we just wanted to have somebody to come in and help us see clearly what's going on. We're so excited to have Ahava Tamiz, Rabbi Itzhak Shapira with us today. Rabbi, welcome to the show.
Wow, it's great to be with you and with your viewers. You guys are doing a great job, and I'm so delighted you take upon yourself some difficult topics like what we're going to talk about tonight.
Yes. Yeah. I know that the world seems to be so divided over what's going on. And sometimes some of the confusion is, how do we define words like Zionism and things like that? And so we're so excited that we've read your book, the new book, The New Hamas, and it was so enlightening. It really does define what's currently going on beyond politics, beyond who's in the Knesset, who's the president of the United States. It really gets boiled down to what the real battle is going on. It's definitely spiritual. And we're so excited to have you. Do you mind opening us with a word of prayer, Rabbi?
Yes. Yes. Thank you so much. It says in the book of Psalm, truth springs out from the earth. Lord, we are asking for truth to be revealed here tonight in the program, truth in the eyes of the believers, truth to be surrounding us, truth to be shielding us. We're asking that you give us tonight and in the days ahead, in the last days, discernment, wisdom. Give us understanding, give us knowledge so that we will not fall for the traps and the snares of the adversaries. So I'm asking specifically for tonight that those who have ears, let them hear, and may the remnant will be expanded in those last days so that none will perish. I ask this in the merit of our Mashiach, Yeshua. Amen and amen.
Amen. Such a good prayer. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I know for me, I have family and friends, people who are in the church, people who are in Messianic Judaism, and even amongst ourselves, there seems to be confusion of what's going on and the craft of the enemy to use our phones, to use our disinformation, and then our phones feed us only what we want to hear. You know, it only tells you what you want to hear. If you only want to hear how bad America is, then that's surely what your phone is going to tell you. And there's, like I said in the beginning, there's this word Zionism, and I feel like people can define this word so many different ways. I was reading in the Psalms, and I see the word Zion in even David's prayers. And can you kind of help our audience understand what is maybe what Zionism from the Bible really means?
Well, Zionism in the simplest form is the statement and the belief that the land of Israel is connected to the Jewish people. In the simplest form, we can define Zionism is the, not just the historic, but also the biblical right of the Jewish people to live in the biblical borders of the state of Israel. And although Zionism became this concept of Zionism became much more popular in 1948 with the establishment of the State of Israel as we know it today, it's important for everybody to understand, because, you know, a lot of terms are being thrown in the media. I'll give you one term as an example.
Yes.
Occupier.
Yeah.
How many times we turn on the radio or television, we hear this term occupation. Mm-hmm. Well, think about this term occupation for a second. Mm-hmm. If you go back to the 19th century, into the 18th century, and the 17th century, 16th century, 15th, 14th century, mm-hmm. here is something everybody needs to understand. The Jewish people were always in the land of Israel. So when we talk about this idea of Zionism and the return to the land and being in the land, it's not something new that somehow established in 1948. Jewish people were here all along, and they're the one who really made. How do we know, aside from the Bible, how do we know that this land belonged to the Jewish people? It's very simple. The Jewish people are the only group of people who been here in the land of Israel who actually make the desert blossom. You know, we grow watermelons in the desert. We make in the middle of the desert a harvest like you will not imagine. Why? Because there is a spiritual connection between the Jewish people and to the land of Israel. Now, you have to understand, most of northern Israel, there is an area by the Galilee and the Golan that is called the Lake of Achula. Much of this land that today, if you've ever been in Israel, is the most green, lush area north of the Sea of Galilee. Beautiful, beautiful area. Used to be a swamp. It used to be a swamp with infestation of a disease that is called malaria. The average life expectancy, let's say if you go to the early 1900s, was about 30 years old. That was the average life expectancy. Why? Because the land was diseased. But as the Bible prophesied, when the Jewish people will return to the land, they're going to take the sickness out of the land and make the land blossom. And this is exactly what happened. Those early pioneers came, and although there were in some of those areas Arabs, remember there was a British mandate that the British were here, and the British mandate was, hey, we're going to split this to two states at this time. And that's what the British thought will be appropriate to do. So they divided it. But of course, our neighbors, since 1948, did not want this to happen. That's the reality. 48, war. 56, war. 67, war. 73, war. 82, war. 2005, war. 2023, brewing the mother of all wars. You notice a pattern? They don't want to live side by side with us. So everybody have to understand that. Now, the amazing thing, the Arabs didn't want those lands. So you know what they did, because it was diseased. They sold the land to Jewish settlers who came from Europe in the early 1900s. And they planted, for example, in the north, eucalyptus trees to suck the disease from the land and start to work the land and make this land that today you love, everybody loves, the Galilee.
Yes.
In the early 1900s, it was nothing but a swamp. And those people who came here, it's important to note one more thing about it. They didn't come here for a vacation. They came here because they knew the Bible. So the early pioneers that made these massive migrations long before 1948, going to the 1800s even, they were all these Jews. And they asked what the return to the land mean. The return to the land mean hastening the coming of Mashiach.
Yes, yes.
So is that why we're seeing this increase in violence? Is that another pointer that Mashiach is coming?
Look, we need to be wise. When we look at the social, political situation right now that is brewing before our eyes, there is nothing new under the sun. It's happened before. Now, I want to explain to you something that to your viewers, something very important. that everybody have to understand. When Israel entered to the land of Canaan, which is the same place that we are right now, where the 12 tribes were residing. And again, not to be facetious here, but you understand, this is long, long before Islam came to this equation. Yeah. And some people make a mistake between the term Plishtim, the Philistine, to Palestinians. They have nothing in common. And everybody have to understand that. They have nothing in common. Islam came in the seventh century to play. So they're no Muslim. None of this is really is in existence. But there is something in the pattern that we all have to understand. God told to the children of Israel, walk in, remove all places of idol worship, what's called Avodah Zarah. Remove them, because if you don't, those will become your Achilles heel. So let's apply it now to the modern state of Israel. Mm-hmm. 1967, something supernatural happened. We were attacked. And in 6 days, God has given us all of Jerusalem. It was a miraculous, miraculous thing.
Mm. Yes.
What did we do? In 1967, again, the term Palestinians does not even exist. We have Jordanian. We were fighting Jordan. Mm. There are no Palestinians. Mm. And everybody have to understand that. Okay? The money that is used by them is Jordanian money. Mm. What happened? In 1968, we gave back half of Jerusalem to them. And because we did not uproot them when we needed to uproot them, now you have millions and millions of group of a fictional group that is calling Palestinians. When I say fictional, they are real people. Don't get me wrong. They are real people, but they are a group of people that really made something that has never been there before. And that is the big, great white elephant in the room that nobody has even mentioned. Where are the Palestinians? Where they came from?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So when you ask the question about the violence, no, the issue is, for us Jews, we are eating right now this stew that we've been cooking slowly since 1967. And that's the truth.
Yeah. Mm. I had some friends ask, you know, why, no matter where we go, from the Babylonian exile to the, you know, the destruction in 70 AD of the Second Temple, and then dispersed into Europe and all these different places, why everywhere the Jewish people go, do they get persecuted? And my friend, who is not a Christian at all, is an atheist, I would say, they say, you know, what's wrong with them? Why does everybody hate them? And I think it really gets to the heart of what was in the book, the book of the Nuhamas. Yes. Can you kind of go, let's go into the Nuhamas and tell us, like, at the heart of it, let's simmer it down.
Well, let's break it down. But before talking about the Nuhamas, let me answer your question for a second. Mm-hmm. You ask what's wrong with them. Let's work backward for a moment, okay?
Yes.
Why are the Jews being hated? Mm-hmm. Because you have to understand something, especially if you believe in the Bible. It doesn't matter for a moment if you're Jewish or Christian or whatever, okay?
Yeah.
Let's just go with that. You believe in the Bible. The Bible clearly states that the Jewish people are a group of people who are set apart. They're different. God said that they are set apart to be holy nation. What does it mean holy? Holy does not mean better. It means set apart. Now, the question you have to ask yourself, set apart for what? Mm-hmm. And the prophets tell us they set apart to bring light to the world. And it's a connotation very simple. If the Jewish people are thriving and doing their job, the salvation come to all of humanity. You know who is benefiting from Jewish people thriving? Humanity. All of humanity.
The whole world, yes.
And you see it even in areas, just a touch of this, if I may explain it to you people. the people who are watching us this evening. For example, per capita, Israel have more Nobel Prize winners than any other nation, Jewish people, from any other group of people, ethnicity, by far. Innovations in ways that we cannot even understand and imagine coming from Israel. Israel is a blessing to the world in ways, in medical, in agriculture, in technology. We are a blessing. But this is the tip of the iceberg. Israel is going to be a blessing spiritually to the world. And when Israel thriving spiritually, all the world will receive the benefit. Okay?
Yeah.
We have to concede to the fact that there is some other force, and this is kind of leading us to the new Hamas. There is other force that want to crush the Jewish people at the beginning of time. Because if they thrive, it means it's game over for the forces of darkness. And everybody have to understand right now. I love the way that Benjamin Netanyahu said it. He said, Israel right now is fighting the war for all of humanity.
Yes.
Amen. Everybody need to hear what I'm telling you right now. The battle that is brewing in the physical is much bigger than one can imagine, because it's a conflict for all of human race. Okay?
Amen. Amen.
So now, you ask me the question about the Hamas. In my new book, the New Hamas, I'm holding it right now, in the Great Organized Chaos and the Coming of the Messiah. Now, there is a great organized chaos. I'm going to get to that in a second. But before I tell you the story about the New Hamas, I need to tell you something. There is continuum from 2020 to 2023. I released three books, one after the other. 2020, we know what happened in the world. COVID hit. Yeah. And when the COVID hit, I released this book. The good news, the COVID-19.
Okay.
This was a supernatural 600-page manifest that have a simple message. Here is the message in two sentences. Because we have to understand how it's all connected. The message is very clear. Get yourself connected to God right now and use the COVID-19 as opportunity to align yourself with God, because the clock is ticking one step closer for the coming of the Mashiach.
Amen.
And you know, people are watching and say, well, we're back to normal. Nobody's talking about COVID-19. Guess what? We're not back to normal. You don't even have to be a religious person to go outside the street and see how people act now as before the COVID-19. We are not the same. We are not the same. Humanity is not the same. And the message I got is very simple. The clock is moving. You cannot turn the clock back. What you need to do is hurry up and get yourself ready. At the end of the COVID-19, God told me, start gathering the remnant. We released the Rivka remnant. And the message of the Rivka remnant was, again, very similar message. Become what part of this remnant. And what the Lord revealed to me is many people think they are the remnant, but they are not the remnant. And they need to really look at the profile, at the spiritual profile of the remnant. Okay? So those are the two messages that led us to October 7, 2023. October 7, 2023, I am in a foreign country for Simchat Torah, inauguration of a new synagogue, coming in great joy, great expectation. I wake up in the morning and I hear the news. As Israeli in a country that is not favorable for Israel, by the way. Being an Israeli citizen in a country that is not favorable to Israel, seeing it, immediately, I knew something is not right. Something is not right in a gigantic way. My stomach was turning inside out, upside down. Mm-hmm. And the only thing I could have done is really cry to God, which I've done in a foreign country. At this point, 2 days later, I was already in Japan, and I'm crying to God. And I said, God, I need to understand where Hamas is in this, in the Tanakh, in the Bible. Show me, reveal this to me. Mm-hmm. Went through several days of fasting and prayer. And lo and behold, 160 times the word Hamas mentioned in the Bible. At this point, you know, we're seeing the kidnapping. Mm-hmm. We are seeing the beheading. We are seeing the raping. We are seeing the tunnels. And guess what? Everything that happened on October the 7th has been prophesized, including the opening of the fence. And the reason behind the opening of the fence, all of this has been prophesied. So I start to write it. I write it like crazy. And then I give it to my Israeli counterparts, my Israeli staff in Israel. Mm-hmm. Some of them are completely secular Jews. Mm-hmm. And they read it, and they get stunned. They're overwhelmed. They shock. Say, immediately SOS, release it to the public. Mm-hmm. And that was the birthing of the new Hamas. Now everybody need to understand this, because there's a fraction of people who are what I call Christian Zionists. And they love Israel. They have a great deal of Israel, to Israel, for the Jewish people. Mm-hmm. And they think that Israel unconditionally will be fine. Mm-hmm. But what we are seeing about Hamas is something completely different. Look, every time Hamas mentioned in the Bible, it's in conjunction with death, prince of death, or Satan himself. And the more shocking thing is, if you look at the structure of Gaza today, the structure of the tunnels, they are resembling hell.
It's
stunning. I'll give your audience one example. Mm-hmm. You know that they put the tunnels. Everybody saw the tunnels. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They have seven levels of the tunnel.
I didn't know that.
The rabbis of Israel tell us that there are seven levels to hell. Everything that you see in the structure and the construction of the tunnels and the strategy of the kidnapping, especially of the children, and I'm sorry to be graphic, the raping, the pulling the babies from the womb, and all of those terrible things. Everything has been prophesied in the Bible.
Yeah.
Everything has already happened in the past. Mm-hmm. And everything is leading us for the event that we call Gog Vemagog. So when we are talking about this, let me just say this last sentence and then I'll let you ask me anything you want. But everybody have to understand it. Christians need to understand today that this war that we are engaging right now, take out of your lexicon, Arab-Israeli conflict, Palestinian-Israeli conflict. It is not about the Palestinians. They are just a pawn.
Right.
Iran is a pawn. Tehran is a pawn. Turkey is a pawn. There is somebody greater behind this, which is the ultimate one who is going to have the showdown. Mm-hmm. Not just with Israel, but with the Messiah of Israel. Mm-hmm. And we know who it is. It is the adversary.
Yes.
Yeah, I think in just like real... my simple understanding and how I talk to my children about it is I just step back and I don't use those terms. It doesn't make sense to focus on the names, but the idea that we are created to be vessels for the spirit of Hashem. And if we're not being filled with his spirit and we're and people are choosing to rebel against him, they're a vessel and they will be filled as well with a spirit. And what's manifesting is
exactly
the true nature of the anti-God spirit.
Yeah,
you could say the anti-Messiah, because that's what it is.
Yes.
We can use a language that most people are very familiar with. Hamas is a spirit. Listen to me. Hamas is a spirit, is not people. It's yes. Hamas is a manifestation of the one behind this.
Yes.
It's right. Not a coincidence that the word Hamas in Hebrew, for example, is equivalent to the word hell. You know, in Hebrew, it's amazing language. Hamas equal hell. It's not a coincidence. Mm-hmm. But the question that we all have to ask ourselves, how did Hamas penetrate the Jewish people, right? Both on the physical level and on the spiritual level. Mm-hmm. After all, we have a fence of $5 billion, and this fence is watched 24/7. How can 3,000 terrorists come and nobody see them? They were invisible. We're not talking about 1,500. We're talking about 3,000. How is it even feasible? And you see, that is the shocking thing about the new Hamas book. Mm. That when you see the prophet Yechezkel, Ezekiel, cry out, the fence name is the Gader. And he prophesies on the time that the fence will be broken. Now, if you read carefully the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 22, he's even tell us why the fence has been broken. And you know why? He says 3 verses later, it is because my people had the Hamas against my Torah. Isn't that amazing that the word Hamas, used in conjunction with the Torah, is the reason for the wall or for the fence to be breached? It's right there in front of us.
And does that go back to Yom Kippur and the stuff that was happening at that time in Israel?
Well, we know, it's interesting that you bring it up, but why did the temple was destroyed?
It's baseless.
Let me educate this the viewer for a moment. It's important to look at October 7th, not just on the biblical map and say, well, this is the day of the joy of the Torah. It's important, though. We cannot be ignorant of this time, 50 years also after Yom Kippur and so forth. But you have to look at the physical, because a physical is a mirror of the spiritual. What was going on in Israel on October 6th? What was happening in Israel 12 days prior to that in Yom Kippur?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yom Kippur, the holiest day on the Jewish calendar, where Jews fasting and crying out to God and asking for kapara, for atonement.
Yeah.
We are fighting, punching, and shedding the blood of fellow Jews mm-hmm. in Tel Aviv. Mm-hmm. What was happening for the last 2 years in Israel? Jews hurting Jews. Jews call each other Nazis. Jews attacking Jews. We already, and this is the big thing everybody have to hear, especially if you're pro-Israel. Because people always ask me, I'm a Christian, what should I be doing right now? Well, number one, you need to pray that the spirit of Hamas mm-hmm. will be lifted internally
yes.
from our nation yes. right now. As an Israeli citizen, as somebody was raised in this culture, I can tell you that I've not seen the state of Israel in such a state ever that I can recall of so much baseless hatred among us. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you something amazing, and it's going to be a tough pill for everybody on the show tonight to hear. But the Central Intelligence Force of Israel, it's called Aman, A-M-A-N, released 2 reports It's public news, mainstream news. March and August. And twice a month said, because of the fighting internally among Jews, Hamas is planning this attack. Listen to me. They knew about it. They were warning the IDF. They were warning it, but we did nothing about this. And everybody need to understand, we were blinded because of the baseless hatred. There is no other explanation to how 3,000 men can come inside the country. So everybody have to understand that right now, that the breach has been made. And the prophet is warning us. He said, the breach will be made because nobody is standing in the gap for it. Now, it's interesting because the rabbis ask the question, well, who can stand in the gap? Who can truly stand in the gap in Jacob's trouble? And that's $1 million question. And the answer they gave, it's interesting. They quoted Psalm 106. And they say somebody who will resemble Moses, a Mashiach of some sort. That's why the book is called The Great Organized Chaos, because ultimately, the events we are watching right now are going to be leading us for the coming of the Messiah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. There's a... There's so much here. I've heard over and over from different Jewish people. They said, you know, there's a different spirit. There was something that's been released, something that your great grandparents and your grandparents have always been saying, everyone's ignored. And I think for the first time around the world, for this generation, not for those who live in Israel, but maybe the Jews in diaspora around the world, they are now feeling that spirit that your grandparents have always spoken about. And we're seeing, I'm stunned by these marches around the world, pro-Palestinian Hamas marches. These people have no education. They don't have any historical reference here. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. Like, and
let me make it a more personal, not just talk about the marches. When we released the new Hamas book, I want to give you some dry and hard facts. We put a picture of the book with me and another rabbi releasing it. We release it in French in Paris. In one day, we receive over 5,000 death threats.
Wow.
In one day, we had to shut down Facebook. We had to shut down everything.
Wow.
In Vegas, we saw swastikas. In Fort Worth, Texas, they sprayed the building that I spoke in with swastikas. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm not talking about London or Rome. Mm-hmm. I am talking about the Bible Belt right now.
Wow.
Because everybody have to understand, Hamas is already here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Personally, I have dealt with people I know. Okay, people I know. That all of a sudden, lo and behold, I find out that they're anti-Semitic. It's shocking. But let me tell you the most shocking thing. And this is where I hope GLC can really help.
Yes.
When we release this book, we called hundreds and hundreds of churches. And we do need to talk about it. If you want to talk about a controversial issue in your program, let's put it all on the table today, okay?
Sure. Yeah.
But let's be very, very honest and open. Mm-hmm. How can it be that we call hundreds and hundreds of churches and not a single church willing to talk about this on Sunday morning? How is it possible? We receive two different answers. Either not interested about talking about it on Sunday morning, or B, we do not let strangers into our churches. And you know, to me as a Jewish person, not as a rabbi, not as a Jewish human being, who is in great distress, mm-hmm. who is a follower of Messiah, to receive mm-hmm. those kind of answer from the church, it's shocking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
church is asleep. Mm-hmm. And that's the real issue right now, that mm-hmm. Christians have to understand that the spirit of Hamas, you have to understand the spirit of Hamas in conjunction to Isaiah 60. Darkness will be covered all over the earth. Mm-hmm. It's going to affect everybody who is not lined up with Jacob. And this is a very important thing that we have to understand. Why are the churches numb? I ask myself a lot of this question. Why yeah. are they numb? Why they not see those clear prophecies and signs? Because we have a problem. We think that somehow we will be raptured and we will be left, the Jews here, down here, while all the church go up to heaven. You know what Jewish people are saying to me right now, not believers? Mm-hmm. They cry out to me. And they say, we're in Jacob trouble. We're in Jacob trouble. Help us. Help us. Help us. And that's where today we have to submit a great cry to the church and tell the church, help us. Help us. We need your help. We are yeah. not even safe here. Not in America either. And you know, I go all over the world with this message. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, there is not a safe place. The church mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. And we will know at the end of this who is the real church, who is the real remnant, and who are the ones giving lip service. Because from near here on, people probably ask the question, where are we going from here on? So first of all, you see in the Bible that Jacob is wrestling with an angel.
Yes.
Until the sun is coming.
Yes.
This is a picture of the last days. The rabbi says, until Messiah come, we are entering now to the constant fight, to the constant battle. And I want to remind the Christian friends that Jacob was wounded.
Yeah.
And the wound was deep. And the wound is getting deeper by the day for the Jewish people. We are calling upon the nations. Because you know what? The most genuinely upsetting thing to me about reading about Hamas is asking the question, how we defeat it, right? How do we defeat this spirit? Mm-hmm. And this spirit is a very strong spirit. I speak about this spirit in the book. That's why I want everybody to read the book. How do we defeat it? And you know what the conclusion I reached? When I'm reading all the commentary, all the scripture, everything, we don't defeat it without the spirit of Mashiach. And that's where today my cry is, Israel not going to win this battle without Mashiach.
Yeah.
We might win around them, but what will happen is going to become worse and worse and worse to the Jewish people. Because guess what? This war cannot be won without Mashiach. So God will marginalize ultimately our F-16 and our tanks and all of those things to get down on our hand, and because that's the only solution at the end of the day. I'm not saying not to fight. Please understand me. But we have to fight through Mashiach. Well, how do we bring Mashiach? That's the job of the nations today. To bring spirit of Joseph, the spirit of Joseph. Remember the battle of Abraham, our father, that he entered 5 against 4 kings.
Yes.
The rabbi said, this is a picture of Gog and Magog. Isn't that interesting? That this battle that taking place where Abraham is, what is he doing? He's setting the captive free, like what we're dealing right now. Ask yourself the question, we are so many days into the war. Where are the captives?
Yes, right.
To restore Gaza to the Stone Age. Where are the captives?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know why we don't know where the captive is? Because we need Mashiach to guide us to those captives. But how did we win this war in the story of Abraham? Think about this for a second. Abraham took 318 men I know many of you know the story, to go and set Lot free. You know what Judaism said about those 318 men? He says that those 318 men are representing the 10 Gentiles who grabbed the tzitzit of the Jew on the last days. That is a picture of the remnant church.
Yeah.
And that's what we are after today. Because people ask me the question all the time, what's going to happen to the church? What's going to happen to the church? Let me tell you something. If you're not with Jacob, you're with Esau now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have to choose. God is drawing the line in the sand.
Right.
Yeah.
A house divided can't stand. And if for some reason we think that the church is not with Israel, well then that's not the right house. You just went into a different house.
Yeah, but it's you know, it's more than just say I love Israel.
Right.
You have to ask yourself the question, and this is where we have to challenge all believers worldwide. Well, what does it mean fight for Israel? You have to understand the spiritual fuel that's fueling right now Hamas, the spirit of Hamas in the world. And I'm not going to be politically correct on your program, but I'm going to say it. Black Lives Matter, Hamas, what happened with the LGBTQ movement, all of those things are the same spirit. They are the same spirit in the world. Behind this, there is a spirit that want to rob you from something fundamental. And you know what is fundamental? The truth. I was just, before the interview, I was on the mainstream Israeli TV. Listen to the statistics. That was from United States of America. Since October 7th, you know what is the fastest growth that is happening inside United States right now among young people? Unbelievable growth for Islam. Islam is exploding among young people. Young people, especially in the progressive movement. So they did an empirical study and asked a question, wait a second, with all this thing, with all the beheading, with all, how come it's growing? You know what the researcher answer was? The reason it's growing, because the truth is meaningless. We have lost the sense of right and wrong, of true and false. We have lost it right now. And this is exactly what Hamas is. Hamas is the fundamental right and wrong. We are losing our humanity right now, right and wrong, by compromising. And I see that even among believers, and this is the challenge today. You want to stop the spirit of Hamas from knocking on your door and your family door? Stop compromising. Do not compromise the truth. Don't play this politically correct game. Stand up to what is right and what is true and to what is holy. Anybody will be lukewarm will perish. And this is the call right now for the church. If you want to stop Hamas from coming in, return to holiness, starting in your own life. It's like pulling the gasoline out of the tank of the enemy right now.
Yes, amen. Amen. It is it's the war of, is there a God or not a God? It is that to say God created me to be whatever alphabet I am, LBGP, God made me this way, is to say that there is no God. He makes mistakes. That's what they're trying to say. But we're saying that you come down to the black and white. Are you the light or the darkness?
Yeah. So that's the thing for everybody to understand. The sins of Hamas, they called, as I explained in the book, sins of under a penny. Why? Because we're not talking about being this super holy guy living in Torah. They call Hamas, calling Judaism, under a penny because it's deal with the fundamental humanity. I'll give you an example, okay? Jewish people were putting in a line and they took a sword on October 7th and they chopped their head one by one by one by one with Allahu Akbar. How come BBC cannot call them a terrorist for a month. Mm-hmm. It's a fact. Mm-hmm. They say armed men. They refuse to call them a terrorist for a month. Mm-hmm. Why? Why is it? Because we lost our sense of right and wrong on fundamental humanity. So what is under Hamas? Here it is. The right to live. The right to live and not to be kidnapped. It's a basic humanity. Mm-hmm. Now let me take you to another extreme example. Now, in our schools, a boy can become a girl and again can be a boy, and you can be a binary and you can be this and this. What is the connection between what Hamas did to what we're doing right now? Let me tell you something. They have the same common denominator, which is trying to wipe God mm-hmm. from the face of the earth. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It says in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image. We are taking the fundamental thing that I have created in an image of God. And we say, no, there is no God. I am God right now. And I'm choosing who can live, who can die, who is a boy, who is a girl. Do you notice this? It's the same thing.
Yeah.
And everybody else says, this is the spirit of Hamas that seek to desensitize you and to dehumanize you.
Yes.
So, I mean, as you're talking, so many thoughts going through my mind, but just overall submitting, I mean, as a believer and a follower of Yeshua, the Messiah, and, you know, I serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and submitting to him right now more than ever seems to be so imperative, and agreeing with what he agrees with, calling good what he calls good and hating what he hates.
Amen.
Loving who and what he loves. And for anyone who is experiencing confusion, to go back to the word and see what Hashem says, because
amen,
that's where we want to be in line with. And he loves Israel. He loves amen. Jewish amen. People.
I think we need to do one more thing, though, mm-hmm. that we should not take lightly. Mm-hmm. When we look at the life of Jacob, Jacob, as we know, his name is Israel. He's a prototype. There is a great law that says the action of the fathers is assigned to the sons. So remember something. This spirit that was harassing Jacob has a name, and it's the same spirit behind Hamas today. First, it was called Esau. Then it was called Amalek. Then it was called Hagag. Then it was called Haman. But behind it is the Satan himself.
Right.
How did Jacob overcome this spirit? Mm. Well, number one, there are two things we need to take. Number one, fight. Fight the evil inclination. Meaning in simple language, fight sin in your life.
Yes.
That's right.
Fight sin in your life. Even if you lose a battle, fight it, fight it, fight it, because okay. it is roaming. I love the way the rabbis of Israel say it. He said, when Yaakov and Esau were fighting, Satan was dancing between their legs. Right now, Satan mm-hmm. is dancing between everybody's legs. Notice how people act. Notice the lack of compassion. We sense it. That's number one.
Yeah.
But here is number two that I hope people will take it to heart. You see, Jacob left Beersheba and went to a place called Haran, which was a very difficult place, because Eliphaz, the son of Esau, was after him. You need to understand something today. Satan is after you.
Yeah.
He's after your family. He's after your household. He's after your children. He's after anything that is holy, anything that is good. And he is relentless, and he will not stop. What do you have to do? Is you have to keep doing, being on the move. Keep moving. What that mean to be on the move?
Mm-hmm.
Do an exceeding action of loving kindness.
Mm.
Do the mitzvot. I want to issue to everybody who is watching this program tonight, a call to return to holiness,
yes.
A call to return to the covenant, a call to return to the Torah. Those are the things that keep the enemy away.
Yes.
Yeah.
Away from your household. And of course, put the blood on the doorpost of your home.
Mm-hmm.
To Messiah Yeshua. Mm-hmm. Putting the blood, but continue to do the actions that keep the enemy second guessing. Do not be passive today. My prayer for the church, stop waiting for a rapture today. Stop. Stop doing this. Get active in preparing the world to the coming of Yeshua, because he's returning soon. In the next book that I'm going to be released, The Fall of Edom, Decoding of Hodiah Vision, I am going to show basically where this book ends. I'm going to show how is this word going to conclude. But it still begs the question everybody should ask. Will I be a survivor? Will I be the remnant survivor? The spiritual survivor of the darkness what is coming? Now is the time to take the word of Isaiah. He said, go inside the room, lock your door.
Mm-hmm.
Do not let the enemy in.
Amen.
And you know, one of the number one areas is coming in, because one of the names of Hamas, those who read the book would know, is called the fly, like the Lord of the fly. So there's this expression in Hebrew, the fly come through the hole on your lips. You know, when you say your lips, it's come from the mouth. One area that we as believers have to be careful of, not to let the Hamas in, is through the sins of the tongue, speech, evil speech, slander, gossip, cursing, all of those things fueling Hamas. Be careful with your mouths and guard those lips.
Such good advice. There are a few prophetic people in the world today, and Rabbi Yitzhak Shapira is definitely one of those voices of prophecy. And you need to get into these books. If you want to understand what is coming, you have to understand it through the lens of Judaism. And Rabbi Yitzhak Shapira does such a great job of breaking it down and helping us who are maybe not used to the Jewish lens to understand. And I feel like all those who are out there who have done all these great researches in the books of Revelations and all this, without Judaism, you don't understand. Without Judaism, you don't get it. You have to get onto Ahavat Ami, get the books to really understand what's going on. Rabbi, you do such a great job of going around the world and bringing yeshiva and light to so much. Can you, for our listeners, as we wind down here, can you help us, tell us how they can get a hold of your ministries, how they can learn more about the Ahavat Ami, and to get involved with communities that may be near them?
Absolutely, absolutely. Let me take 30 seconds and say one thing to encourage everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That although we love the book of Revelation, we study it, we see a lot of apocalyptic things, not just in Revelation, in Isaiah, in Jeremiah, and the prophet. I want everybody to remember one thing. The job of the prophet is not telling you this is sealed, this is doom, and this is what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. The job of the prophet is to warn us so that we turn back to God. The prophet Jeremiah tells us that if we hear a prophecy of a calamity, it does not have to be fulfilled. And that's something important for all of us. It is not too late to turn to God, to turn back, to return. Because of that, we're opening a school that right now is running in 60 countries, the largest Jewish school open to Christians. It's called Shuvu, meaning to come back, to return. Shuvu operate in English, Spanish, Italian, French, German, Dutch, Korean, Portuguese. And it's have a message for all of us. Come back to the roots of your faith. So we invite everybody to come to our school. Also, all of our resources, all of our books are available in Ahavat Ami. This is meant for the love of my people. You can check it out. We have communities page for all of our communities. I would love to come and speak to your community and encourage you, challenge you, and prepare you for these last days. Friends, we can still turn it around. Let's be the remnant that puts so much weight that God will give us enough merit to turn this around before it's too late.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for this just timely manner, this timely message of warning and hope. Thank you for the dedication that you have. I don't know if any of you, if you don't follow Rabbi Shapira, the Lord must compress time. He made a time zone so that Rabbi Shapira can do more, twice as much, three times as much as anyone else. He's traveling around the world. He's a tired man, and also just doing so much, a heart to do so much. Pray for this man that the Melachim will surround him and protect him from his comings and goings, wherever he's going. Mm-hmm. And like you said, he's being attacked spiritually, like we all are, but on a different level. When you rise up and are doing something on a higher level, that you're on the target a lot more. So please pray for him, fast for him, remember him in your prayers, and get the books and get the understanding. And we all need to, as a body of believers, and we all need to rise up and be more like our Messiah. And thank you so much for your example.
Amen. Yes. Thank you so much.
Go ahead.
No. Well, I think just the last little input I have as well for those who are joining us today is get into the Word and connect with our Creator, connect with Hashem through His Son Yeshua, through the Word made flesh, and read and absorb and do. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Be proactive. How can we serve? How can we love? What can we do to help the Jewish people right now? And prop them up, because what they are doing on behalf of humanity, they are at the forefront confronting the evil, and we're behind, and we need to prop them up with our prayers, with our financial support, whatever it is Hashem lays on your heart. But be proactive in loving your neighbor as yourself. Amen. No more baseless hatred, baseless love.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for joining us. And for all those who are watching, if you like this show, please leave some comments below. We hope to have Rabbi Shapira again back soon. And you're always welcome to the show here on God's Learning Channel. It's so good to see you again. And please like, share, and subscribe. And we hope to see you again. May Hashem bring you back next week. Shalom, everyone.
Shalom.